Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, let's dive right into the good news, the bad news, and the bizarre news as we head into our holiday break here. More on what we'll be offering during this holiday break over Christmas and New Year's in just a moment. But first of all, the good news is that after two really, really, really long years, the 111th Congress is finally done, and the 112th is only a couple of weeks from taking over, and appears the full extent of the damage, and it is extensive, is over from this Congress.
The storm has passed, and now the rebuilding begins. It was kind of fascinating to watch Obama yesterday in his kind of farewell press conference, just for the year, sadly. not forever. Just, you know, bragging about it's the most productive lame duck session in many decades, and you know, the most productive Congress in many years. One, I mean, ask America, you know, it's interesting he's touting the productivity of a Congress that has a, what, 13% approval rating?
Right.
You know, if people hate what you're doing, I don't think productivity is really a great measuring stick. And then the second point is, I wonder if at any point it bothers Obama to observe that everything happened in the lame duck, when you had a whole bunch of people who were no longer accountable to voters, who no longer had to worry about their careers ending because their careers had already ended, you know, 63 House Democrats in that category. You know, like why it took this circumstance for him to get what he wanted through there. And why was so much of his agenda something that people were, you know, both you know, moderate Republicans and almost every Democrat were terrified of voting for before an election? I mean, you know, on some basic reptilian level, that should, you know, bother him, and he should, hey, why is everything I want to do so unpopular? Why is it so hard? Why, you know, what's wrong there? But that would require a bit more self-reflection. And instead, he seems pretty happy to take a victory lap. I only caught the tail end of his press conference yesterday. People tell me he was in good spirits at the beginning. I guess that may be the truth. I wonder, though, if at some point we're seeing a bit of exhaustion in Obama, to the point where he's now realizing he's not going to be the president he wanted to be. And so now he's just kind of going through the motions. You know, there's a certain part of him that has conceded to reality in the past couple months.
Well, I think what you're seeing from Obama is the fact that he realizes with the new Congress, his big ticket items, he's not going to get done before he has to be on the ballot again for reelection. So he got some things done here to satiate the base, and now he can work on winning over the middle over the next 18 months to 2 years, and he feels like he's in a pretty good position to do that. So not really sure why that should be the good martini, but the fact that this has finally been done, and now obviously we can try and undo some of the damage here, but as long as he's in there for the next 2 years, the undoing is going to be rather limited. But the bleeding is finally stopped, we hope. Anyway, on to the bad martini.
It says a lot about our time, and that's the good news, everybody. Happy New Year.
That's exactly right. So then the bad news, of course, is that what we saw in this lame duck session, Republicans stood strong throughout the healthcare debate, throughout the stimulus debate, throughout all sorts of debates, most of which they ultimately lost just because they didn't have the votes. And then when they got this shot in the arm of confidence from the American voters, who absolutely and abjectly rejected the Democratic agenda over the past 2 years, you know, we see that the Democrats got what they needed to do on some of these issues that we thought were going to be, you know, we'd be able to run out the clock on some of these things. And here's Obama's explanation of what happened here.
This has been a season of progress for the American people. That progress is a reflection of the message the voters sent in November, a message that said it's time to find common ground on challenges facing our country.
I don't really think so, because Republicans were pretty much en masse against your entire agenda, and they're the ones that made the huge gains. So for whatever reason, the Republicans failed to learn the message of their own huge victory and rolled over on start, don't ask, don't tell. A lot of people think that they gave away too much on the tax cut deal. They did win a couple important things on the omnibus and the Dream Act, but everyone's basically talking about how Obama's the new comeback kid, and that's the last place the Republicans wanted to be.
Yeah, I mean, some of this can be laid at the feet of Republican members of the Senate who aren't coming back. The Voiniciches of the world, even kind of the Judd Gregs types. And that's, you know, that's frustrating, but that's just baked in the cake and the way it's going to be. I do think, however, I mean, it's frustrating, but on the other hand, we know the two big issues that drove Republicans to really big gains in the midterms were the economy and healthcare. I think that's really not in too much dispute. Don't ask, don't tell, as passionately as some folks may feel about it, I think wasn't a central issue. And so that's where I think some Republicans may have felt a willingness to give some ground there. Couple that with the START treaty. I mean, I've heard, you know, I think there are a lot of arguments that this is, you know, the Russians are going to see this very differently than we intended. But Obama seems to have been willing to, you know, play ball with the Lamar Alexanders of the world. And they, you know, when they were willing to take yes for an answer, when Obama said, I'm going to make, you know, meet provisions X, Y, and Z, that was enough for them and the Dick Lugers of the world. And frustrating as that is, if they had given up on the tax cuts, I think it would have been a more catastrophic lame duck session, or if they had somehow acquiesced to a portion of Obamacare or something like that. I mean, it's not to say these, I understand that for many conservatives, these are bread and butter huge issues, but I think that the fact that these are not likely to be ones that a Lamar Alexander is going to lose his seat over, I think, is a, you know, reflects that.
Now, on New Year's Eve, Jim and I will be deciding who our person of the year is, and you want to make sure you're going to tune in for that. LeMond, in our third martini, the crazy martini, has already decided who the person of the year is, and in true Time Magazine style, but only in what is not the biggest story of the year, probably, Julian Assange, under house arrest, a man facing sex charges and receiving the ire of right and left. If anyone has brought Democrats and Republicans together this year, it's Julian Assange. So maybe on some crazy level, he is unique in that way. But clearly, the detriment that he's done to the U.S. military, diplomatic relations around the world, and everything else.
The lives he's in danger. Oh, yeah. The people who probably get killed because of him.
Oh, yeah. Informants in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah. Other than the fact that their lives are in mortal danger for the rest of their lives, no big deal. Julian Assange, person of the year for LeMond.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I saw that. It's like, oh, my goodness, how could they? And then I realized Le Monde is one of the newspapers that he was leaking information to, and they got some of his exclusives. So in light of that, in a way, they're really saying, here's our source of the year. You know, thanks a lot. You were really good for our circulation numbers for a couple of weeks. This is, on the one hand, I think probably illustrative of a extraordinarily frustrating self-destructive streak amongst French psychology. And that, you know, look, Julian Assange wants to hamstring the United States as the world's hyperpower. I'm trying to, you know, I don't have the Julian Assange philosophy conspiracy theory manual in front of me. So if I get some of the details wrong, I hope you'll forgive me. He'll leak corrections later, I'm sure. But this sense of, well, you know, I don't think he's a friend of Nicolas Sarkozy. And if somebody offered him a treasure trove of French diplomatic documents, I'm sure he'd be every bit as eager to leak all of those. And I have this feeling that the French might look at Julian Assange differently that way, even the editors of Le Monde. If someone were to leak him the minutes of all the editorial meetings and all the emails from Le Monde editors when the shoe's on their foot, all of a sudden then he wouldn't be quite so popular. So in a way, this is kind of the left of Europe kind of, you know, giving the middle finger to all of, you know, the governments that are trying to carry the torch of Western civilization forward. It's a typically, you know, snotty, you know, trendy pick. But on the one hand, I think it also does kind of reflect a bit of just how far gone the thinking of the media elites over on that continent is. And it's frustrating, but I guess, you know, typical of what we should expect from institutions that have really lost their way and won't grasp this until it bites them much more directly.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily going to change what's happening to Julian Assange or this entire story. So if he can put that little plaque on his shelf in his house arrest place there in the eastern part of England. But Jim, this will be our last day-to-day podcast of Three Martini Lunch for the year. But we've got very special podcasts coming up over the next several days. We'll start tomorrow with our annual McLaughlin-style awards. We'll start with underrated, overrated political figures of the year, as well as the most honest politician. We'll go out throughout the next week, who's rising to stardom, who's going to oblivion, the best and worst ideas of 2010 in politics, and we'll close it out on New Year's Eve with our person of the year, turncoat of the year, and Jim and I will offer our political New Year's resolutions. So Jim, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll talk again soon.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us next time for the Three Martini Lunch.